Greet you all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and I hope that you've come here expecting to hear the Word of God and have it preached unto you. And I pray that you would say a prayer for yourselves and say a prayer for our brother, that he can tell us what he has for us today. Ask you of your attention to our brother, Elder Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Aaron, and good morning to each of you. Those that are live streaming, including my wife. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in as well. Alicia couldn't be here this morning. She is feeling a little bit under the weather. Fear not. We tested her last night and she tested negative. So that's good. But she tested positive for being crazy. So that's my little jab for my wife today. Oh, I'm getting scorned by her best friend, Erica, right now. So I'm sure Alicia appreciates that. No, but I'm thankful to be here. I gave some thought to this sermon for a couple weeks now, and you know, it's one of those sermons that I really thought that I would never preach, and I really appreciated the second song, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." That's actually going to be my first topic of discussion here, to walk in the ways of the Lord, but I wanted to start off, and we'll get to that, why I thought I would never be here preaching this sermon, but I wanted to start off with reading a verse out of James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the reason why I picked that for an opening verse is because recently I actually climbed up the hill and I'm over it now. So we celebrated my 50th birthday, and so I probably will start getting the invites to the activities that come along with that, which I'm ready for it. It's kind of funny. I was thinking about that, and it's kind of exciting, and at the same way, boy, it went by quick. It was the weirdest thing, too, thinking about all this, spending time with my family, getting out of town. We did a bunch of hiking up in Sedona. It was great. It was excellent. I was trying to make the most of it. And everything that I wanted to do for my 50th birthday, I did. And the majority of that was spending time with my family. That's truly kind of my new mindset, is to be able to spend as much time with them as possible, because they grow up so quick. Everybody gets old. It goes by so fast. And it's just crazy how it goes by faster and faster and faster. And yesterday I received a package in the mail out of the blue. It was really interesting because I've been thinking about these things and how fast the kids growing up, what Logan's doing, Eric and Brooke, what they're doing with the community college, Easton as well. And out of the blue, I go to the mailbox and there's a package in there for me from my stepmom in Chicago. And it's a box. I'm like, what did Donna send me? I just don't understand. So I hurried up and I got home. And I opened it, was rattling, and I was like, what in the world is, hopefully it's a box of money, because everybody could use a box full of money, but it wasn't. I opened up the box, and it was pictures that my dad had saved from over the years of the kids' visits and stuff like that. And it really touched my heart, because I truly appreciate how the Lord has blessed us. Having my dad in my life, and I know that he cared about us. I know that he cared about the family and the kids, and it was tough because just seeing the kids and all the pictures that he took from his perspective, you know, what he saw through his eyes, and it's still touching me, and it's hard to look at some of the pictures because of the memories that we had together. Fishing up in Wisconsin with my brother and my nephew. Our wedding was in there, the kids when they were young. And, you know, my stepmom said, hey, I thought you might like these. These are probably some good memories to you. And it was one of those moments where, you know, as I was going through the pictures, Brooke was in there and she was probably 2 or 3 years old. And I believe it was Amy's phone. It was somebody's phone that she was on in church, a tiny little girl with a cell phone up to her ear. And, here she is right now, and she's 16 going on 17 and still talking on the phone. So, you know, all those things, Eric, he was a tiny little guy, probably 2 years old, pushing Logan on his bike, and he had my mechanics gloves on. They were like really big on his hands, and you know, just all these pictures that I got to be able to reminisce about, and it was really tough getting through them. I actually kind of had to stop, and I was working on my sermon last night and focus on this, but I was going to bring the pictures to share with everybody, but I just decided not to. And you know, it's just those personal things that people have that carry with them throughout their lives, how meaningful they are, and truly how fast, when you actually have photos in hand, tell you how fast time actually goes by. And so that's why I wanted to start off with James chapter 4:14, that life is just a vapor. But at the same time, it really helped me be able to understand and to know of how richly blessed we are as God's children. And, you know, when we look back on all the time that we have spent worshiping him and serving him, I'm thankful for that. I truly hope that throughout my life that people will be touched. People will see the light of God being expressed through myself and those that are around me, my family. As I pray, you know, that's one of the things I truly hope for, is to be able to give others inspiration, a desire to be able to share that love that God has for his children and to see all the good things that come along with that. And so I was thinking about this sermon. I already kind of had it in mind. You know, it's nothing special. A lot of times I just look at a birthday in my life as just another day. It's just another day. But this one, I wanted to make it special because it's one of those memorable moments. And so spending it with the family was the most important thing for me, and we really enjoyed that. And so I just wanted to share, I titled this sermon, 50 Tips from a 50-Year-Old. But in actuality, I'm not going to do 50 tips because we'd be here quite a while. So I rendered it down to 5. And I thought about what tips would I give. Kind of at work, one of the things that we're taught in meeting people and telling people about who you are and what you are, we call it the elevator speech. I'm sure many of you have heard about that. You know, what would you do if you were in an elevator for a couple minutes with another person to share with them who you are? And so I have 5 tips of my elevator speech that I would share with people. And again, that goes right along the first topic with song 136, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. The first thing that I have is that I would give somebody the advice to walk in the ways of the Lord and all the things that come along with that, all the benefits. There's so many blessings that come along with it. And I wanted to read the verse that I picked for that. It's in 1 Kings chapter 8, and it's verses 57 through 61. And this is as I was studying, doing this, putting this together, they refer to this as Solomon's benediction. This is just after the ark was brought to the temple, and he was addressing the house of Israel. And it says, "The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. When he commanded our fathers, and let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. I really appreciate that verse there, those scriptures, because it kind of sums it up. All the things that we've been taught, all the ways that the Lord has shown us through his son, that if we keep those, that we really have this opportunity to be able to receive those rewards from the Lord. You know, there's things that go along with that. And, you know, it's hard to be perfect. It's impossible for us to be perfect. And so it says here, let your heart therefore be perfect. And there's a definition to that. I looked it up in Strong's. It comes from 8003, Shaw Lame. And it's not to be perfect in the interpretation that we see it. It's to be complete, full, just, and I like this one, made ready. It's to be made ready, peaceable, and whole. These are the terms that we look at when we're trying to make our heart perfect. And all these things here, this definition, are things that we can work within ourselves to help us be able to understand those the statutes, the commandments, those important rules and standards that the Lord puts in our lives for us to benefit from and to worship him in a way that is pleasing unto him. And there's another word that I wanted to share, and that is supplication. And, you know, it is used in these verses, in that supplication means to be humble and earnest in prayer and worship. And one of the things I really have been appreciating much more and more ever since we attended the camp this year is being able to hear and to know and to understand, have a better, deeper meaning of what that term worship is. And how we go about doing it, how we do that together, but how we do that inside of ourselves daily. And I'm thankful for that, because in this little bit of time that we have going through the daily routines, it's more and more important that we participate, that we interact, that we communicate, that we seek counsel from God and worship him daily, see all the beauty that the Lord has put in our lives, whether it's our kids, whether it's the environment, whether it's our attitude, all those things that the Lord helps us be able to perfect, to understand, to fine tune, those things, those tools to do that are given to us through the instruction, through the statutes, through the commandments of the Lord, through his spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. It really helps me be able to want to share with others, especially those that are having trials in their lives, to turn their lives to God, to test him, to let him, to try the reins, to let him be able to open up their heart and help them through any time that they're going through difficult, stressful, anxiety, depression, whatever it is. The Lord's there to help you be able to see what paths you need to take to be able to overcome, to be able to conquer those things. And so, you know, that word supplication again, it's truly a humbling experience when we have that mentality and when we're opening up our hearts to God, to have him be able to see, you know, what it is that we need to do and to let him work with us and to help him, have him be able to help us through those times. And it says in Proverbs chapter 8, I'm going to read 4 verses there that go along with this. I love them that love me. I love that opening to the sentence there, to the scripture, where it says, I love them that love me. We put forth the effort, and that effort is returned back to us in whole, if not more. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches in righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold in my revenue, than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And so there's a fulfilling, there's a fulfillment you get in your life. You feel full, full of love, full of joy, full of peace. Your mind is at ease when you follow after God and walk in his footsteps, when you follow the path of his son. And there's a substance to that. There's a substance that quenches your thirst. There's a substance that fills your belly. You feel a sense of accomplishment. You have that uplifting in your life to be able to know that there is a God and to see that he watches over his children, that he cares for his children. And that's something that we need to share with others. Share with others to walk in the ways of the Lord. There's challenges, there's difficulties that we need to overcome. But again, if we do that, if we walk in his ways, he will make us victorious. He will give us the strength, the courage to be able to accomplish those things. It'll help us grow in understanding how to face things, how to guide other people through experience. So many trials that we go through in our lives. It's interesting because, you know, as my kids are getting older, you know, there's a couple different ways that I approach them in situations that are in. And some of the situations, hey, I'm going to talk to you about this as a friend because the situation deems necessary. Or I'm going to talk to you in a way as your father, because as a father, this is something that's important that you know. So you, as one day will become a father, you understand these things in our perspective, because the reason why we're difficult, the reason why that your parents are stubborn, the reason why your parents are getting after you is because we love you and we don't want to see you go through the struggles that we have been through. And God the Father teaches us those things, how to be able to express those concerns in a manner that's loving and that's kind, only for the benefit of his children, only because he loves them, only because he cares for us. So we have to learn how to communicate throughout life, how to share these things, and how to express to other people that if we walk in the paths of the Lord, not only is it going to benefit us, we'll receive all the sustenance that God has to offer to sustain us, but it's pleasing to him. He takes joy in that. And so having joy in that, you know, we see that. And when we have joy, you know, we want to share that with others. And how do we share that with others? I already kind of touched bases on that. So number two is to worship him daily. We need to do that. And, you know, I know that we come here and we worship God. And that's one of the things that when we sing songs, I really have been trying to memorize the song in a way that is sort of a solemn to God. And to be able to understand, and I've heard it preached over the pulpit before, with it just going over my head and not really taking it in, that there's more to the lyrics than just singing to them. There's a story. There's a message. But most importantly, there's a purpose. There's a purpose why these songs were written by people. It's because they were touched by the Spirit of God. It's because the Spirit of God did something in them that meant something, that had an impact, and they wanted to share it with others. They wanted to express how they were touched by the Lord through their words, to where it's being a process to be able to worship God. I don't know if process is the word that is correct for that, but it's the way that they would express themselves to show God that he had an impact in their lives. And these songs, I believe our sister Michelle did a study on some of these writers of these songs. And these songs, some of them are hundreds of years old, 100 years old. And to this day, they still have deep meaning. They still have a purpose. And I believe that they always will, as long as they're with us. As long as we have them in our heart, as long as we have that ability to understand what the words mean, And as we grow in our spiritual walk, that those words that people put down in on paper help us and give us what we need in our lives at any given time. And so, you know, one of the things that I would encourage is singing to the Lord, whether it's in private, whether it's in your heart, in your mind. But one thing that I realized as coming to this church when I first started, which seemed like yesterday, was that the one thing that I found that I could do and not feel emotionally incapable was singing to the Lord. And I always think about that. And I've thought about that, not always think about that. I thought about that recently. And one of the things I put into perspective is that, you know, when you're sitting in the pew and you're looking around, you see everybody else singing. Everybody singing. And so there's a safety in numbers. So I feel okay. As I would first sing, I would do it very quietly. And over time, you feel more and more comfortable being able to do that. And I know that the God, that our God looks down and he sees those things and he takes pleasure in that, because it's a way that we open up. And when we see others doing it, you know, it gives us that confidence, the courage to be able to do so. So worship God daily. Start off with singing, picking a song you love, and even humming it within yourself throughout the day, especially if it gets difficult at work, school, whatever it is. You got a test coming up. Think about a song that eases your mind, that'll help you focus, that'll help you be able to get through your trial, because those words are powerful and they have meaning and they help us be able to reach out to God for that which we stand in need of. And so I wanted to, number two, daily, everybody, I listen to myself when I say worship, and I always remember Jay Moser saying, sounds like you're saying worship. And it probably actually does. It's kind of funny because I try to say worship. It always sounds to me like worship. Anyway, there's Gary at his best. So, yeah, I know it's tough. It's tough to be me. But I wanted to read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. It says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it says right there in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's almost like Paul, when he was writing this to the Ephesians, it's like he knew that there was something about this, and there is. And it's like he started off as step one, making that melody in your heart to the Lord. Maybe he had the understanding that singing out loud in front of a group or with a group could be difficult. But if you just start off simple at step one, making that melody in your heart, it'll grow into these things to where you have an appreciation for what it's all about and where it can take you and why it takes you there. So therefore, as you start to do this, you feel that confidence. And it's almost like he was trying to instill that little piece of confidence in people. Just do it in your heart. Just give it a little try. And it's funny how, you know, you can be singing a little bit of a song and, you know, other people around you can join in, especially if you're in a difficult time. You know, you look through the ages when there was all kinds of in war situations throughout slavery. You hear these groups of people when they're in these very difficult times, when the pressure is heavy, when the burdens are heavy, they start singing. And this really helps people be able to have the strength to endure. And one of the songs, I was kind of curious if we were going to sing it today. I was going to thank the Lord if we did, is Praise Him. And in the lyrics, it's praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. strength and honor give to his holy name. And I underlined that and made it in bold on my notes because, as I said, what you put in, you receive. What you put in, you get out of this. So if you give strength and honor to God's holy name, he's going to give you strength and he's going to honor you for that. So there's that relationship we have. And it spells it out because it says, like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children in his arms. He carries them all day long. Tell of his excellent greatness, ever in joyful song. I skipped some of the words there, but to make my point. And I find that very interesting because these lyrics have a deeper meaning and there's a purpose for that. And I believe that song gives you strength. And I never really realized that. I thought singing as I was growing up was horrible. You know, when I was going through elementary school, we all had to get up and stand up and do the singing thing. I was the worst one there was because I'm sure the music teacher really didn't appreciate me that much because if there was a way to adjust the words to make it sound like something funny, I was that guy. And see, some people are laughing because it happens. That's our nature. And now, you know, I get it. There's a maturity that comes with our spiritual walk. And, you know, no longer do I look at words in that way, form or fashion. Some of the words, yes, okay, there's still the child in me, you know, and Jesus guards his children all the day long, so he understands that there's still those times when I struggle that the lyrics can be something else, and I get a little bit of a chuckle out of it. But so importantly is how that little start with the melody in our heart can give us strength, can provide honor, can please the Lord. And so that's what I would encourage people is to worship him daily. And in Psalms chapter 147, seven verses, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. So I had to look that up. Comely in Strong's is beautiful. Praise is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. It's a thing of beauty. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And I find that interesting that follows suit from singing praises to the Lord. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. So if we're, you know, if our heart's broken, whatever the case may be, the Lord is there. There's an avenue for us to be able to receive healing as long as we're willing to worship our God, as long as we're there to acknowledge that God is there to carry his children through. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I really appreciate that too because, you know, sometimes I don't even understand the things that I do myself, but the Lord, his understanding is infinite, and I can't comprehend that. But through life lessons, he helps us be able to understand. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And it finishes up here. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And so it's just an encouragement to continue and to put that in your life as a priority. Worship him daily. Okay. Number three that I would give is hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. And there's an old guy in the Old Testament. His name's Moses. I guess I could relate with him now. Just kidding. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. I wanted to read that. And it's important that we hearken to the voice of the Lord. And I pulled those words out of that verse. It says, for a specific reason. And it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And I really appreciate this, and I utilize eSword in my studies when I'm putting the scriptures together and putting together my sermon, and it referred to this as the Beatitudes of the Old Testament. And so there's all these blessings that come when we hearken diligently. That's that word, diligently, unto the voice of the Lord. And I wanted to share a little piece from Matthew Henry when I was going through this. He says here, we have here the conditions upon which the blessings is promised. It is upon condition that they diligently hearken to the voice of God, that they hear God speaking to them by his word, and use their utmost endeavors to acquaint themselves with his will. Upon condition that they observe and do all his commandments, and that they keep the commandments of God and walk in his way. Not only do them for once, but keep them forever. Not only set out in his ways, but walk in them to the end. And I really appreciate that, because all over the Book of Mormon, it tells us to endure unto the end. And there's a condition with this. You know, we have to diligently listen to the Lord and what he provides to us, his guidance, his direction. And I was thinking about this, and we have at work, this keeps sliding down. We have at work contracts. I used to oversee 46 contracts with different vendors to support fleet maintenance, my section. And we boiled that down to one single contract with a major supplier here and throughout the nation to provide us all those parts. And one of the things I kind of related this to is that we got to be able to monitor this contract to make sure that they're meeting the contract terms that are laid out in the scope of work. And so one of the things that I do and we're doing right now is we're doing internal audits and evaluations on this vendor and finding out whether or not they meet the terms of this contract, the KPIs, that key performance indicators that we put in place for them to meet. And I read this, and I know that when we enter the waters of baptism, I don't like to relate it to a contract, kind of in a roundabout sort of way for us to be able to have a little bit of an understanding. It's kind of like we're signing a contract with God. And one of those things is that we got to make sure that we are holding up to our part of the contract. And there's not many requirements to that. I love that because, you know, if we have to do a self-evaluation, we can really break it down pretty simple. You could take the Ten Commandments and see if you fit in those categories. Or, you know, you could dig a little bit deeper. You could dig yourself in a hole like I do a lot of times, you know, in conversation. But you can dig into your own personal life and relationship with God and really see if you're making those key performance indicators, that you're meeting the requirements of God. He'll share that with you. He'll give you that understanding. He'll open your eyes up to see that. But that's one of the conditions that we have to put and set forth in our lives, that when we're walking with God, there's certain things that there's this policy that is put in place. And it's a wonderful thing. And we're always learning from it. So one of the things in the contract monitoring and self-audit that we do, I am not doing that to be able to take the contract and to smash it in the face of our vendor. I am not doing that. That's not the intention of it. The intention of it is to provide a better service and product to our customer, the end result. And I know that through building that relationship and having that correspondence and the proper lines of communication with our vendor and such forth with God, that there's a better understanding of what needs to be done. There's a way that approaches could be discussed and managed to be able to create a seamless and efficient process. I don't like to necessarily break it down, God's relationship with us in that manner, but hopefully expressing it in that way, it helps us be understand God's not out there. He loves his children. He's not out there to smack us upside the head with the book, with his word. He's there and he's wanting to sit down and to take time and to talk and to understand and to show you understanding and to help you through these things so you have a better life, so you have a better opportunity to share his love with others. That's a successful agreement in a contract. We have every right to cancel the contract if they cannot meet the contract terms. With God, he will do everything he can to continue to help you succeed in your life, to make that contract successful, to our agreement, that covenant that we have with him. And it's important that we understand that. And there's so many benefits from a contract. Oh, it was so great because there is a drawn out process, and Brother Glenn could probably attest to this, of trying to get a contract approved through the city of Phoenix. Months and months. This contract that we developed with this vendor, 2.5 years it took us for us to be able to get this to city council and have city council sign off on it. 2.5 years to get this contract developed. But what it did, the time and the effort that was put into it, all the madness that went along with monitoring 46 other contracts, this little thing, tires from this guy, radiators from this guy, auto bodies repairs for this guy, it was nuts. But when we put the time and the effort into it, the rewards are substantial. And it makes a difference. And, you know, we've had this new contract for 2.5 years about now. So we're 2.5 years in, and quarterly meetings about the standards that are set in the contract. But what I would say is listen to God, and he'll talk to you every single day about that covenant that you have with him. Or if you're having the desire to start that covenant with the Lord, to enter into the waters of baptism. So think about those things. There's so much madness and chaos that goes on in our lives, but the Lord, he can put it all together for us and show us exactly what we need to do. Okay, so when he does that, there's number four. There's rewards that come with that, and we can have the opportunity to be able to testify, to promote, to glorify God. And number four that comes with that is be a blessing to others. And I even added here, see how others are a blessing to you. So many of you in our congregation have been a blessing to me. And I thought about that, and it's interesting because I always talk about like how we need to be a blessing to others, but take time and see how others are a blessing to you. You know, like we look at our given situation, others that give advice, that pray for you, see that and give God the glory and thank him for that. Let him know that you are aware of people in your life that he has put there to be able to help you through life. And so I wanted to read in Alma, chapter 3, 5 verses here. 2, 4, 5. Yes, 5 verses. Verses 27, I have through 32. Through 32. I just jumped over onto the other page. I try to get it all on one page so I don't have to do this. It says, Alma chapter 3, verses 27 through 32. And now, behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do ye look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you this in that day, come unto me, ye blessed. Your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. So this is kind of that self-examination that we do within ourselves. We look at ourselves and we see those things that we've experienced, how the Lord has touched us, and we see the goal. We see the end result. We see why we put all the efforts into changing ourselves, changing our mindset, changing our hearts, because the reward is to be with God forever and ever, which is coming quicker and quicker in my day. And so I've really been trying to put this into practice. And that's one of the things. All of us can have a covenant that we make with God, a contract. And if we're not continuously reviewing what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it, then basically the contract serves no purpose. You know, we have to be able to stay on top of it, on top of ourselves, doing those self-internal audits, those internal evaluations of ourselves. And there's all the rewards that come with that. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 8, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And so I find that as my kids are getting older, and I as well, that it's interesting because being able to do the things that I used to do is becoming a lot more difficult and a lot more taxing on my body. So the last two nights, I really have had bad sleep. And it's not because I'm stressing. It's because there's Brooke's vehicle. I had to work on it. And I'm not built like I used to be built. You know, I feel like I'm in a fit kind of shape and all that. But, you know, working on a car, I just had like, I know a lot of us, when we were young, we used to be in the pool and you used to play chicken. So you'd have somebody on your shoulders and the next day you could barely move your neck because it's been wrenched around so hard. So for some reason, my body's not liking working on vehicles as much as it used to. And the last couple nights have been very difficult. But in doing so, you know, I really enjoy being able to help somebody and to help her be able to have a vehicle that's reliable, that isn't going to leave her on the side of the road. And it brings me joy in my heart to do that and to see the rewards of that. And for her to be able to have confidence in knowing that her father is taking care of her. But in the same aspect, if we know that the Lord is working to help us too through our lives, you know, he probably looks at me a lot of times and say, man, I really got a big challenge here. This is, you know, I doubt he sleeps, but, you know, I could see him saying those type of things and understanding who I am, but have the knowledge and the ability to know how to help me and how to change me. And I learn from that and I see that because, He's a father that loves us, that shows us those things. And one of the things I wanted to share, and this was proud dad speaking here, is that I got a phone call at work from my daughter. And I was like, well, she needs something because, you know, something's going on. I don't ever get a call from my daughter at work. Hey, Dad. Yeah? My car is overheating. Okay, where are you at? Right? And, well, I'm at home. You're at home. Did you drive the car all the way home while it was overheating? Well, I turned the heat all the way up. This is a little tip for everybody that doesn't know. I turned the heat all the way up and the blower all the way up. And it was all the way at DH. And it came back down and I made it home. And I like started smiling at work. And I was like, who told you that? And she's like, you did. And I was like, amen, amen. You know, something stuck. Something stuck. And I'm still proud to this day. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And I could see the Lord doing that with us as well. You know, hey, look at that. He's praising me for that. It's stuck. Finally, after all these years, I've been trying to get through to him. But it is. It's how the Lord cares for us is more than we can imagine. It's something that I'm truly thankful for, that the Lord has drawn me to him. It's important that all of us have that opportunity and that you take advantage of it. There's a lot of opportunities in the world, in every aspect of life. But out of all of them, the most important opportunity is to have God in your life and a relationship with him. And if you put the effort out here, just like in the first verse, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What you put in is what you give out of it. If you give the Lord all of your heart, he's going to give all of his love to you. And that is crucial. It's critical. It's key to having a good life. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me to the last tip that I would give, is give God the glory. Give thanks to him each and every day. They go by quick. Be thankful for your food. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your church. And be thankful for our God. Ether chapter 5, verse 4. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I love that verse. And there's so many things in our lives that challenge us. And there's so many things in life to make it through. Sometimes it's a minute by minute, inch by inch battle. And there's days that all of us are challenged with. But when you get into that, when you're in that war, remember that God, he maketh an anchor to the souls. That is our foundation. That will get us through. We will overcome. We will persevere. We will press forward. And most importantly, when you have that covenant with God, you will be able to endure. You will not fall short. God's promises are there. They're in his word. They're in our hearts. They're in our minds. He throws that at us every day, all the time, every situation. Questioning where you're going to be, how you're going to get there, what's going on. Counsel, seek counsel from the Lord, and it'll open up your eyes to be able to see what you need to do. Again, life is short and it's but a vapor. And unfortunately, I've hit a new era, or I don't even know how to put it in words, but I hit a new point in my life to where God has really helped me be able to know and to understand and to witness for him. And I hope that whatever, the sooner the better, whatever age you are, wherever you're at in your life, I hope that you let God do that for you. So please share this with others. Take that time to do so and glorify God, because you'll be richly blessed. Thank you for your time.